Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord.
Jesus began to reproach the towns where many of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. As for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the last week, we have been pondering Jesus' instructions to the first apostles about how to announce the kingdom. Sent them out with power, power to heal, power to exercise, power to raise even from the dead. Sent them out with particular packaging that they were supposed to announce by how they lived the gospel they were proclaiming. So trusting in God's providence with no money sack, being filled with the peace of the Prince of Peace and how they would greet homes, always presuming that they would find a peaceful person, and if not, the peace would return to them, so on, including the sufferings that would come. But yesterday, Jesus was reminding them of the welcome, that if they were to be welcomed by anybody, God would reward the welcomer. And so they go off to announce, Jesus himself goes off. And what does he proclaim? We would expect that his first words to Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum would be, the kingdom of God is at hand. But instead, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. He castigates Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, which was his hometown after he had left Nazareth. It's what the evangelist called his home base. It's where he had worked so many of his most extraordinary miracles. He calls these three places worse than Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. That terrible place of inhospitality in which they literally tried to sodomize the visitors. But this message isn't contradictory to the instructions that Jesus gave. You remember when he began to announce the gospel? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That when the kingdom comes, there's supposed to be a conversion built in. And so often our notion of conversion is what gets us confused. We think conversion is to focus on sin and eradicate it. That's part of it, but it's a secondary moment. The real notion of conversion that Jesus was constantly preaching was live a totally new way of life. Rather than look to sin and fight it, look toward me and imitate it. Live it in communion. Pope Benedict, back in 2000, in one of the most extraordinary addresses I think he's ever given, both pre-papal and papal, he said that the kingdom of God is God. This message of conversion, metanoete, revolutionized the way that you look at things. It basically means to turn with Christ. He comes and says, I am the way. Follow me. And to be converted means to follow Christ, to live with Christ. And that's what he was so disappointed about in these three cities. Yes, they had received his miracles. Yes, they used to drag all the sick in mats Yes, they would come out to listen to his words. He preached with authority, unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. Yes, they would follow him all the way along the seashore of Galilee for an extra meal. But they weren't trying to convert the way that he was asking. So it comes to us. Here in New York, here in this chapel, we have wonders so much greater than happened in the ancient Holy Land. The incarnation continues as Jesus comes to be with us. He takes away our sins. He feeds us with his very self. All of this is meant to be ever more consequential, that each day we commit ourselves again to follow him who is that path, to live this truly converted life, which is the life of the kingdom, to live setting our hearts on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is what he always essentially tries to bring about each day. Today's first reading, we see the lack of conversion. We don't see the whole picture here. We've got a lot of names and places. I'm sure all of you who know Old Testament history perfectly don't need an explanation. But okay, we've got Isaiah coming from the north, preaching in the south in Judah. And the king of Judah was being pressured by two other kingdoms, the kingdom of Aram and the kingdom of Israel, to unite with them against the king of Assyria. And Ahaz was thinking, rather, to unite with Assyria against Israel and Aram. And Isaiah is sent by God to tell the king of Judah, don't unite with either. Unite with me. I am with you. Nothing will happen. Isaiah cannot be clearer. But what does King Ahaz do? As we'll see later in this week, he unites with Assyria, becomes a vassal of Assyria, has to go up to the capital and worship the Assyrian gods. He eventually brings that type of idolatry to Judah, and we know what happens a little bit over a century later when they are so frail from their lack of faith that King Nebuchadnezzar exports them all to Babylon. Wasn't living according to the way God wanted, even when the prophet was sent just to say, listen, this is exactly what will happen. Saying God would work so many wonders for their predecessors. He didn't follow. And at the very end, Isaiah for God says a crucial principle. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. We are strong as our faith is firm. So today we always come asking the Lord to strengthen our faith so that we might live the truly Christian life, which is always a converted life, but it's not a negatively converted life, it's a positively converted life in which we begin continuously to turn with the Lord we're about to receive.